ABC Radio Australia.
Well, what happens to a country if it no longer has a landmass? It's a strange thought, but an increasingly important one for Pacific nations faced with the threat of rising sea levels. This month, Tuvalu has made a bold proposition asserting that it will continue to exist as a country even if the island disappears. Marion Farr takes a look at what it means for the wider Pacific region.
The island of Tuvalu is known for its beautiful beaches and tropical trees. But can the country still exist without a physical presence? It may seem like a strange question, but it's one that government MP Simon Coffer has been thinking deeply about.
You know, what constitutes a state under international law? And although there's no agreed definition, the closest we have is that provided in the Montevideo Convention, which defines a state as one having a physical territory.
That's an idea his country is trying to change, and this month it enshrined a new definition of statehood in its constitution.
This legal proposition that a state like Tuvalu can continue to exist as a state regardless of the impacts of climate change.
The new constitution says the state of Tuvalu shall remain in perpetuity, notwithstanding the impacts of climate change or anything else that results in the loss of its physical territory.
It's part of our efforts to try and future-proof Tuvalu, because for us a state is more than just what's in the physical. It's our culture, it's our history, it's the spirit of the people of Tuvalu, and that's something that could never be removed. It's a part of who we are, and we want that to continue.
It's a groundbreaking move. Tuvalu is the first nation in the world to define itself in this way.
We've been advocating since 2020 in our foreign policy that any country that wants to establish ties or reaffirm diplomatic relations with us, that we're insisting that they recognise our statehood as being permanent.
Simon Coffer says it goes hand in hand with another initiative, creating a digital presence for the nation.
We're creating a jurisdiction online that enables Tuvalu to deliver all its government services to its people remotely, wherever they might be in the world as well, and to also demonstrate to the world that we can still fulfill our obligations under international law, manage our exclusive economic zones and the marine resources that we have and other sovereign assets that we have.
The constitutional changes have attracted international attention. Dr. Siobhan McDonald is an expert in law and anthropology from the Australian National University.
This is kind of quite radical in law, but we're going to see increasingly solutions that look more and more like this as countries grapple with the implications of climate change.
But she says there's another factor at play.
There's a geopolitics to this conversation, and the geopolitics is about assertion of maritime rights of countries in the face of supposed threats.
It's a topic of concern for many Pacific nations. In 2021, the Pacific Islands Forum issued a declaration agreeing to preserve existing maritime boundaries, even if their islands shrink due to rising sea levels. Dr. Bal Karma, an adjunct assistant professor at the University of Canberra and special counsel with the Environmental Defenders Office, says Tuvalu has taken it a step further.
We are seeing Tuvalu here doing something that no other country in the world is doing or is prepared yet to be doing. They have taken that bold approach. And this is a first in the world that shows true leadership from Pacific states to confront the existential threat that is posed by climate change.
While the threat of climate change to Tuvalu and other Pacific nations is real, the future impact of sea level rise has been disputed. Some reputable scientific studies have shown that Tuvalu's landmass actually increased by 2.9% in the years leading up to 2014. But Dr. Karma, who was a technical advisor to the Tuvalu Constitutional Reform Commission, says it's important to prepare for all scenarios.
Nothing is really certain. Even the science itself is obviously subject to many other factors. There is no certainty as to what the future holds.
He says defining a country by its physical territory may no longer be appropriate.
This is a traditional definition that existed since the 1930s, at a time when climate change threat wasn't even envisaged. Now, states in many regions, especially small island states, are now seeing that as not providing the sufficient protection.
He's urging other Pacific nations to take note.
The hope here is that the other Pacific Island states not only rely on regional agreements and international diplomatic assurances, but take practical steps in also protecting their statehood within their constitution.
He hopes it will create a wave of change.
If many states, say, in the Pacific and in other regions, adopt similar approach, then it will eventually become a state practice, and then that will contribute to the development of a new customary international law.
Tuvalu MP Simon Coffett says new notions of statehood are being considered at a regional level, including at the Pacific Islands Forum. He says leaders have been working on a declaration to be tabled at the upcoming PIF summit in Cook Islands.
I'm assuming that the outcome of this document will certainly be in line with what Tuvalu has been advocating on the permanency of our statehood.
The new constitution will take effect on the 1st of October, when Tuvalu celebrates 45 years of independence. For Simon Coffey, it's a proud moment.
It's high time now that we address these issues.